May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have 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 your attention, please?
Welcome to Attention, Please, KPTZ's weekly news magazine of interviews, arts, issues, culture, everything we like to talk about here in Port Townsend and on KPTZ. I'm Larry Stein, your host for this week's episode. I spoke this week to two newcomers to our community, two newcomers in the arts world of our community. I spoke to the new executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival, Danielle McClelland, and I had a meeting with Kathleen Garrett, the new exhibits director of Northwind Art. We'll hear from Kathleen Garrett first. Kathleen Garrett has a wide experience in curating, in relations with artists, and in administration in the arts world, especially the arts world of the Northwest. I asked Kathleen Garrett a bit about Northwest art, or the art of the Northwest, which is her specialty, really.
You know, there's the Northwest School that was named in the 1950s, and that kind of put the Northwest on the map in terms of art. And there's so much more. It's just really expanded. It's vibrant. It's dynamic. And I've spent the large part of my career investigating and researching and exhibiting Northwest art, not only in the museum context, but also I managed Swedish Medical Center's art program for a couple of years, too. And they have a fantastic collection of Northwest art. So it really stretches.
I've seen that collection. It's highlight of going to Swedish hospital in the pre-COVID days. But
yes.
But it's really, you know, it's an important place where people get to see art they wouldn't have probably seen otherwise.
Exactly. And the healing properties of art. We know that art can heal. And so that's something that I think I'm also bringing to Northwind Art, because art is at the heart of everything we do here, including providing exhibits and education during these COVID times.
Mm-hmm. We need it. I know Teresa has really been a champion of that. She says again and again, what we need more than anything now is art.
It's true.
To help us get through this.
Yes.
You have two new exhibitions at your galleries, at the Grover Gallery on Taylor Street and the Jeanette Best Gallery on Water Street. Give me just a capsule version of what's up for now for February into March.
Okay. At the Grover Gallery, we have Todd Horton, Mystic West, and it's a series of paintings. That opened on January 20th. And that weekend, Todd did two live painting sessions on Saturday and Sunday. He's coming back to do two more live painting sessions, February 12th and 13th, and March 12th and 13th, both Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 4. And he sits in the gallery in that big front window and paints these 10 by 10 paintings. It's an offshoot of a series he did called Affordable Paintings for Friends and Neighbors. He's very active on Instagram, Todd J. Horton. And the paintings in the exhibit are very large. So these are small paintings done on site. People can buy them and take them away. So it's pretty exciting. We've already sold two of the six that he made when he was here for the first section.
So I take it that you have worked with Todd before and you know Todd because essentially you brought this exhibition in.
Right. This is one of the few exhibitions that we had a short gap to fill. And so I was happy to call on Todd with this new series of paintings. I gave Todd his first museum exhibition in 2007 at the Whatcom Museum, where I was the curator of art. So yes, I've known Todd a long time. And like I said, we had this short window. We need to get an exhibit at Grover Gallery, and Todd came through.
Where is Todd based?
He is in what he calls West Edison. So Edison is that sweet little arts town. And he actually lives on a boat and has a floating studio on the Samish River just outside of Edison.
Wow. We need to talk to him, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other exhibition is a veteran artist and arts administrator and arts leader.
Right. This is Michael Croman. The exhibit opens February 3rd. And these are landscape paintings. And Michael, he was the executive director of the Washington State Arts Commission from 1980 to, I think, 89. He came here from the East Coast. He had an upbringing filled with art and culture and in New York City all through his childhood and adulthood, came out to the Northwest and just became enthralled with the landscapes out here. And so he developed this unique technique of using cloths, turpentine-soaked cloth on the canvas, in addition to brushes, but he presses the cloth on the canvas. And what he gets is this fake texture, kind of fractal patterns of mountains and marshes. And they're really beautiful, contemplative, yet active landscapes. So we're getting 49 of his paintings in here for the show that opens on Thursday.
Wow. That's a jam-packed show.
It is.
So both of the exhibits that you have in your two galleries are have a thematic connection, really, in terms of observing nature, in terms of interacting with nature.
Absolutely. And
that's so much what Northwest art does because of our surroundings, I think.
Right.
How does this fit in the world of Northwest art that you know?
Oh, it fits beautifully. And I'm really glad that you made these connections, because Michael would be out in the landscape. The exhibition is called Nature from the Inside Out. He wanted to paint what he felt in these environments. So he went out and hiked and camped. Todd also, I call Todd an adventurer artist. We've got a tradition of that in the Northwest, where artists go out into the elements and paint what they see. Michael's landscapes, he likes to say he uses a very abstract technique, which I just described, to make representative landscapes. Todd is almost the opposite of that. He imbues the landscape with magic. There are stars and rainbows, cosmic elements, double moons in his paintings. So he's kind of taking the Northwest ethos and bringing it across to somewhere else, something a little bit more cosmic.
Yet he's bringing a world-known art figure and philosophical figure, William Blake, into the mix here.
He is, exactly. Poetry, he titles his paintings quite poetically, and he's not only inspired by William Blake, but also Jim Jarmusch's film, Dead Man from the mid-90s, and also Murakami, the Japanese novelist. That's the double moons in Todd's paintings. So there's a real wealth of art and culture, poetry that makes itself into Todd's paintings.
I love the thematic connection. So how did you get into Northwest art originally? I'm sure it's a long story, but...
I've been working in an ancient art gallery across the street from the old Whitney Museum in New York City after I graduated from Columbia. And I was trying on other cities for size, Boston, D.C. Then I started coming out west, San Francisco, Santa Fe. And then I just thought, let's just throw a dart at a map. And it landed on Seattle, figuratively. And so I flew out to Seattle to go to the University of Washington for a summer course. So I had housing in the dorm. I attended art history classes. And at the end of the summer, I thought, I think I want to stay. And that was in 1990. And then with the exception of going back east to get my master's in 95, I worked in publishing in New York for a year. So I came back to the Seattle area in 1998.
A lot of good time spent with artists. So you must know everybody out there. Really, you've worked with a heck of a lot of the people who are around, some of them who are sadly not around anymore.
Yes.
But your career really has tracked the recent history of Northwest art, not so recent history, actually.
Yes, it does. And when I look back at it, I got my start at a non-commercial art gallery in Seattle that was supported by Bank of America. And it was non-commercial. So we did like museum shows, and we took Northwest artists, this was in the early 90s, and put them alongside national and international artists just to do theme shows to say, here are Northwest artists, here are national artists. They all coalesced together. So I got to know a strata of that art community. And then I ran the Art Media Center at the School of Art at the University of Washington for 7 years and got to know faculty and rising students there. And then the position at Walker Museum and Museum of Northwest Art, that was a whole nother generation. So I really have been kind of surveying Northwest art my whole career.
And now we've got you here right in the middle of
yes.
it. And you can make the transit to Seattle, and it's parts south and parts north, and you know the artists who are working all around us. So that's
right.
Really,
and I have to say, the artists in Port Townsend, there's such a vibrant artist community here that I am continually learning and very excited about, and excited to have exhibitions and welcome them into the galleries. It's really an involved art community here in Port Townsend.
Mm-hmm. Teresa Veras, the director of Northwind Art, is often saying, her, the way she describes your organization is that the artists themselves are at the center of your organization.
Absolutely.
And she always comes back to that. So yes. You're, of course, working with all of these artists. It's important for them. She and your organization employs them as teachers many yes. times. And you have a component of services and help to artists. So
right, artist support. Yeah. Yes. And it's been really exciting for me. I've just been here a little over 3 months. And in this short time, we've been able to get out into the community and do some collaborations. One that I'm really looking forward to is working with the Port Townsend Public Library on their Community Read exhibition for 2022. And Melody Skyweaver and I have been working on this, just kind of putting our heads together in the beginning and saying, how can we honor this Community Read this year? And so I visit with Max Grover. Max Grover volunteers on Sundays at the Grover Gallery. So I'd stop in and talk with Max, and I shared what are some possibilities for the Community Read program this year in March. And so we, during our conversations, he came up with this brilliant idea. He's teaching two classes at Northwind Art School. And he said, why don't I have the students as a project design creative book covers for one of the books? And so that just took off. So we are pairing our exhibitions and education pillars, collaborating for an exhibition of student art at the library in March. We're thrilled. We're really excited.
That is exciting. And it's great. I didn't realize that Max volunteered at the gallery with his name on it. That's terrific.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Max is so well known by people. Yes. He's an institution here, really.
Yes.
And yeah. Well, Kathleen Garrett, the exhibits director at Northwind Art. Great to introduce you to our KPTZ listeners and our community. And I see that looking ahead, we're going to have many conversations about the projects that you get involved in, because
I hope so, Larry.
Public radio is really a place to do that.
Yes, I agree. It's been an honor to be on your show, and I look forward to more in the future.
Great. Wonderful. We just heard from Kathleen Garrett, the new exhibits director at Northwind Art. She spoke to us about the two exhibitions that they currently have. Todd Horton's paintings are at the Grover Gallery on Taylor Street until March 14th. Todd Horton is doing this event, and he will have done it 3 weekends during the run of his show. And the next one and the last one will be March 12th and 13th on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, from 1 to 4 p.m. He'll be painting small paintings in the window and having conversations with people watching him and giving people a chance to see his work in process. And those actual small paintings are for sale after he finishes them. Michael Croman's exhibition, Inside Out, will be at the Jeanette Best Gallery on Water Street until March 27th. And on February 23rd, you'll get a chance to hear from Michael Croman himself. He'll be having a Zoom artist talk at 7 p.m. on February 23rd, and it's a free talk, but you must register for this to get the link at the Northwind Art website, and that's northwindart, one word, .org. When you're there, click on the exhibitions link. You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. Thanks for being with us and supporting KPTZ. The next new arts leader I got to speak with this last week is Danielle McClelland, the new executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival. Danielle just came to us from a long stint of work in Bloomington, Indiana, but she's not a stranger to Port Townsend. Well, Danielle, I understand that you have quite a long connection to Port Townsend. I wondered how we got somebody from Bloomington, Indiana to know who we are out here, but I understand you have a long connection with Port Townsend.
Yes. I actually went to junior high and high school in Bellevue, Washington, spent as much time as I possibly could at the Neptune Theater in downtown Seattle during all of those years. Mm-hmm. And my parents retired from that area to Port Townsend in 1997. And so I've been coming to visit them like once or twice a year since that time. At one point after my father passed away, I lived here with my mom for about 4 months. When she was her health was failing, I would come and spend a couple weeks every 6 weeks for a couple years. So been in and out of Port Townsend a lot over the years.
Well, you're coming here from Bloomington, Indiana. How did you get to Bloomington, Indiana? Maybe the short version of that. But
so I actually moved to Bloomington, Indiana from Austin, Texas, where I had been for a couple years. And I went there because my girlfriend at that point, my wife now, got into the IU history department for graduate school. And she did a PhD in history there. So we were there for a good long time to start with. And then in the course of those years, I became the executive director for the Buskirk Cholmondeley Theater, which is a 600 seat historic movie palace that was renovated to do both live performance and film. So I've been doing that for the last almost 19 years.
So many communities have a great historic theater like that, that are, they're often repurposed and given new life. So that sounds great. Just the name sounds old and historic, the Buskirk Cholmondeley Theater. Yes. Sounds like very much old Bloomington.
It certainly is. Two sides of the same family that founded Bloomington. So,
But you've sort of made a career for yourself in expanding the arts. You know, you're working in a time in which the expanse of where the arts can go and who the arts speak to has really become really exciting in the last 20 years. So the arts are always on the edge of what's happening. And it sounds like you turned that theater into a place that was not just doing old plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Actually, like from the very beginning, part of what interested me just in general in my life was the intersection between art and social change and the way that art could be utilized as a tool within a community to impact and change and shift people's opinions, people's politics, the way that they interacted and the way they solved problems with each other. I went to college at Lewis and Clark in Portland, and when I was leaving there and starting to travel around the country, I spent a year living out of the back of a pickup truck with my girlfriend and doing all kinds of things. But part of what I was doing was looking at those arts organizations around the country that were doing that type of art, where it wasn't just entertainment. It might be extremely entertaining, but there is a larger purpose to whatever it was, whatever media it was, and interviewing those people and writing about them. And that was sort of my own self-styled education.
That's terrific. Well, that shows me exactly why you're a fit for Port Townsend Film Festival. it's pretty natural fit. Yeah. The film festival over the years, I mean, we have entertaining films and there are, you know, Hollywood movies, and we over the years have had Hollywood celebrities come in and talk about their films with us. But more and more over the years that we've covered it, the last 10 years, it's become a really powerful documentary and social issues film festival. That's not exclusively the focus, but it's just given the nature of the people who live here and the people who come to this festival, it's what comes up. And so you're stepping into the right place.
Mm-hmm. So always so impressed with the selection of films that Jane, Julian, and Jeanette Force were able to find, exactly because they always seem to like cross that boundary, combine a celebration and a purpose at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's the kind of stuff I'm really into as well.
Yeah. I understand you did run a film festival, though, as part of what you did.
I did. So the Buskirk Cholmondeley Theater, when it was renovated, the building itself had been a movie palace. And when the film company donated the theater to the community, they restricted the use of the building so that it was no longer like possible to show films. Hmm. So we had to go through a whole legal battle in order to do some community organizing to get that changed. But once we had that possibility, we kind of went on a search for what kind of film programming would be the most viable. Like, where would film programming really like fill a need inside of the Bloomington community? And what we found was that the LGBT community at that time was really divided in younger folks who were on campus at Indiana University, having all kinds of social outlets and interactions on campus, and then people who lived in the community doing their own thing. And then there was not a lot of crossover, and there was no activity for all ages of people in Bloomington to gather together and to celebrate LGBTQ lives. And so we started the Pride Film Festival as a program of the Buskirk Chumley Theater.
Great. So, and that's gone on for a number of years, right? That's did, established now.
Yeah, I was the director, sort of coordinator of that festival through the BCT. And then after 10 years, we sort of handed the torch over to some long-term volunteers and some students who had come up through the training program at the theater to become their own organization.
Sure. That's the great thing about arts organizations like this, the training function, really. And, and it's so satisfying. I've been doing it in public radio since 1986. And it's so satisfying to see people who come in and are nervous and are afraid to talk on the microphone and don't know what they're doing with radio, and moving up and moving up and finding their voices. And it's wonderful. That's an important part of an arts organization. And I know Jeanette feels that about the film festival. And I can see you're thinking the same way.
Absolutely.
I guess it may be too early for you to tell us what you're going to do with the film festival. I think you've got to feel out, you know, it's almost like a train that's going, and it's hard to change its direction or momentum, but I know your influence will be felt in it as you work with it. But
I think one of the things that was the most exciting for me about the opportunity of this position is that what film will mean moving forward in the future, what film festivals will be like, how we'll interact with movies in general is forever changed because of the pandemic. Even if we return to a scenario where large groups of people packed into rooms together is a safe and engaging and entertaining thing for people to do again, the potential that we've discovered through connecting through screens, through Zoom, through everything, is a much bigger potential. So I'm really excited to gather the community together, our staff, our board, our patrons, people who just have attended the festival over the years, and start dreaming about new and interesting directions that we might go in.
You're right. I mean, this has all taught us a different way to do the traditional, what, you know, we have all had the traditional way that we worked. And this has forced us to learn new ways that actually don't take the place of, but can complement, can go along with. And it's also, with film, it's the whole development of streaming services and the distribution of films now is, you know, you have a film that's in theaters for a week and then it's streaming on your home television. So,
yeah, it's kind of the wild, wild west in terms of film distribution right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There aren't any rules. We don't know what they could possibly be. And everybody's just trying to figure stuff out.
Well, I sure hope we get to the point where we can have a crowds of people in a theater and having a good time watching a movie together. And in terms of the film festival, one of the most vibrant things about the film festival is meeting all these filmmakers who are so excited to be chosen to have their film in the festival, and they want to talk about it. And they are so full of energy, and they have such great stories and backgrounds. They come from all different kinds of places. Yeah, that in-person thing, of course, is what's so great about a festival. So I guess anybody involved with festivals wants that to come back to some major degree.
Absolutely. And the idea of Port Townsend as a place that is sort of a creative mecca where people are always meeting both like-minded and differently minded people to expand and explore creatively is a large part of what draws me to the community. Mm-hmm. And I know is the reputation that continues to spread around the country about Townsend in itself.
And it's a reputation that you've seen in action over the years from when you came to visit your parents here.
I can't believe how many people in Bloomington, Indiana, were like, "Port Townsend, I know that place." So
that's good. That's good. That's good. Good. So Women in Film, I think tickets, passes are on sale now, and the program for Women in Film will be coming out in March, if I understand it. Absolutely. And what we always try to do at KPTZ is get some of the filmmakers to talk to us about the films ahead of time. So we will be in touch with you and your people there about it. And they're familiar with working with us. Do we have the date of the fall festival?
Right now, we're looking at starting September 22nd.
Yeah, usually that's the time period. Yeah.
So we're aiming for a hybrid festival this year.
Yeah, that seems like the way we have to get back is a hybrid. If we can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last year, I guess we had a couple outdoor movies or three, two, I think.
Yeah, I think
successful outdoor movies.
And two, yeah.
two happen.
Yeah.
But there's much more than the outdoor movies. Yeah. I mean, they're fun, but so let's hope.
Our plan right now is to move forward with a fully fledged in-person festival as well as streaming opportunities.
Yeah.
In connection with that. So
that's the way we're all learning to do it. That's why I'm interviewing you on Zoom instead of coming into the office the way I did. I've spent many, many hours with Jeanette in her office. She probably has shown you her big bulletin board that has post-it notes, and she plots out the films up with the post-it notes. I've spent many hours talking with her. Her enthusiasm is so hard to bottle up and control. But yeah, so I look forward to doing that with you when we get to that point. Well, Danielle McLellan, thank you so much for taking a little time to introduce yourself. And it's great that you know this town so well already. So I'll see you around town. So thanks. Talk to you.
Yeah. Bye now.
Bye. We just heard from Danielle McLellan, the new executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival. The festival is busy working on Women in Film, which is the short festival that happens every spring. This year, it's April 22nd through May 1st, and it's a virtual festival again this year. There are 20 films in this year's Women in Film Festival. Passes are available now. Port Townsend Film Festival in the fall is set for September 22nd through 25th, which is the typical weekend that the festival has been for many years. But in addition, there's going to be a virtual festival following that goes from September 25th through October 2nd. We'll be talking to Danielle McLellan again and to filmmakers who are bringing their films to both of the festivals here on KPTC. Attention Please is produced by KPTC staff. I'm Larry Stein, the producer of this week's program. Thank you for joining us and supporting KPTZ.